By the way, if you're wondering if Minneapolis reached out to be a part of the World Cup, they did. In fact, Meet Minneapolis said the economic value for having the World Cup here would be $1 trillion, Adam. One game, one.
Well, you know, they're working with FIFA. I mean, you never know.
Yeah. So we did reach out to Melvin Tennant today after our interview with Councilmember Paul Masano on these bizarre numbers from Meet Minneapolis. And
Mr. Minor error
of $200 million and 122 in 1 year. And Lindsay, what has been the response from Meet Minneapolis and the Tennant office so far?
They have not responded.
Have not responded. And let's just say Adam and I talked to a very good local reporter who says that's the MO of Meet Minneapolis, that when it's the standard flowery statements, hey, we're willing. But if there's ever any serious questions, it's let's vanish, and that's what they're doing, and this is absurd what's going on. I've talked about will either side give either side credit. We're going to find out in a little bit. Jake Sullivan's joined us a number of times before. Sullivan, a part of the Obama administration, a part of the Clinton campaign. Most people thought if Hillary Clinton won, he would be the next NSA director. And the Minnesota native is going to join us in a few minutes. Let's see what he has to say as a Democrat about the agreement. Is he willing to give the Trump administration credit? What does he believe with some detail? Now, Adam, you were telling me about a little bit of a back and forth with the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo.
Yeah, and I'm not sure where this was, but this is Peter Baker, a reporter for the New York Times.
He was expected to go meet with allies after North Korea. So I would think this would either be, you know, Seoul or Tokyo would be my guess.
The reporter asks, the president said it will be verified. Pompeo, of course it will. Follow-up question, can you tell us a little bit more about what is, what discussed, about how? Pompeo responds, just so you know, you could ask me this. I find that question insulting and ridiculous and frankly ludicrous.
Why is that? Why is that insulting and ludicrous? And again, I said it last time, Mike Pompeo is a very, very smart person. He can be condescending. That doesn't eliminate him from a lot of people who are smart.
Bill Clinton.
Yeah, Bill Clinton, leader in the clubhouse, as we've pointed out over and over again. So if you're looking for Bill Clinton lovers on this show, wrong show. But if the whole point has been, and I think the Secretary of State has been right on point on complete, irreversible, and verified denuclearization, if reporters are asking how is this going to take place? Isn't that a 100% fair question? Isn't that like
absolutely.
Isn't that the number one question today?
Can we have details? How insulting. Why would you ask me that?
Now, if he wants to say, I'm not going to give you every single thing, but if he wants to say, we're working on that, we're headed that way, but...
I cannot tell you details of the agreement.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's congratulations on pomposity. 6 past 1. Here's Adam. It is 1:12. Chad Hartman with you here on WCCO. Plenty of feedback so far. You always can send me an email also. chad.hartman@entercom.com. So we want to get different views of what is taking place so far on the summit. And Jake Sullivan's been kind enough to join us a number of times before. Twin Cities native. Certainly was a member of the Obama administration for an extended period of time. He's national security advisor to Vice President Biden. He was a senior advisor to Hillary Rodham Clinton during Secretary of State Clinton's presidential campaign. Many people thought if Secretary Clinton would have won, he would have been the next national security advisor. And he's with us today to talk about what has taken place so far with the summit. And what will take place going forward. He presently is teaching and is an advisor at Yale. Jake, always a pleasure. Thank you for your time, sir. So give me the best possible viewpoint you can about what is taking place over the last 48 hours between our country and North Korea.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
You know, it's interesting because on the one hand, I think that the possibility that the U.S. and North Korea end up in a military conflict in the near term has receded considerably, and that is a positive thing for everyone across the board, for the United States, for our allies in the region, for world peace. But at the same time, the Singapore summit didn't make any progress, none whatsoever, on the core question of what's going to happen with North Korea's nuclear weapons and the missiles that can carry those nuclear weapons. There was nothing in the document that indicated that Kim Jong-un, the dictator who runs North Korea, is prepared to give them up. And in fact, the language in the summit document is weaker than language that President George W. Bush got out of the North Koreans and that President Clinton got out of the North Koreans. So on the one hand, the fact that the two sides are talking and engaged in diplomacy is a very positive thing, and we shouldn't expect miracles overnight, and they should keep talking. On the other hand, the fact that Kim didn't give more at this point is a real red flag as to what his long-term intentions are and whether he plans to just try to take the United States for a ride again. And I think we just all have to watch that very carefully.
The comeback a lot of people would make, and I'll make it here, is don't we have to start somewhere? And in an ideal world, you would build on what previous administrations have done and on certain policy points, and you know this 1,000% better than I, you can do that. Right. But other times you just have such philosophical differences. So and listen, I've been pointing to my criticism on President Trump many times before. But in this area, if he's going to do something in an atypical, unconventional way and meet with Kim Jong-un quickly, and you're not going to have the normal months and months lead up to get more done, isn't it fair to start this way and then hold the bar very high to see what happens next and say, framework, fine, but over a relatively short period of time, we need to see incremental and eventually significant progress?
Well, Chad, first of all, I think you're onto something. I don't actually object to Kim and Trump meeting at the leader level early on in the process, rather than, as you say, spending months having the working levels bang heads against the wall, eventually try to build up to a leader level summit. I actually think it's an interesting and potentially productive move that Trump made here to have this summit. The problem is that if you look at the outcome document, even if you set aside wanting some, you know, great leap forward early on, which I think would have been totally unrealistic for any of us to ask for.
Yep,
you would have wanted to see at least a step forward, some progress. But what the document actually shows is a step back. It is a weaker commitment to denuclearization than the North Koreans had already given to previous American presidents. So that's what makes me worried, is that all what we should have gotten out of this summit is not get to the end of the journey, but we should have been able to take a step forward. And Kim Jong-un didn't move a step. The phrase in the document is very general, very generic. It's not a commitment about denuclearization. It is a commitment to kind of work on the issue in some abstract way. So I think that raises alarm bells for me. Now, it doesn't mean this process should end. It should go forward. We should support diplomacy. But I think we have to be nervous that after all the pageantry and everything we've given Kim, he's not really putting anything on the table, which worries me that, in fact, we just shouldn't be declaring mission accomplished too early in this process. We should really, as you said, hold the bar high.
So let me pick up on two of those points. The second one is your last point, and I've heard this from a number of people of respect, yourself included. I had Matthew Dowd on yesterday. I've read this elsewhere. A lot of people talking about, well, it put Kim Jong-un at an elevated status. If we were going to have a summit and your former boss, President Obama, was willing to meet face to face with different leaders and was mocked by Hillary Clinton at one point, was mocked by Republicans at one point, if eventually you're going to meet with a person who's a maniacal murderer, which Kim Jong-un is, isn't it unavoidable to elevate them?
Yeah. And, you know, I have to tell you, as I try to convey in my last comment, I don't object to Trump deciding to meet Kim, and I don't really buy this argument that says meeting with him is a great gift to Kim. just the meeting. I don't agree with that. I didn't agree with it when people made that criticism of President Obama when he talked to the president of Iran on the phone or shook hands with the president of Cuba. Right. And I don't agree with it now. I think fair is fair. Trump can meet with Kim. I think my concern about the meeting is that Trump didn't just meet with Kim in a sober and serious way. He met with him in a way that he actually went out and said the North Korean people love Kim.
Yeah.
He's talented. Right. He's great.
Right.
They have passion for him. This is a guy who puts hundreds of thousands of his own people in gulags, murders his political opponents. So there's a difference between being prepared to sit down with your adversary in a sober, serious way and the kind of fawning that Trump gave him here. That I do think Kim gets to bring back to North Korea as a propaganda victory. And I think going forward, we should just be very careful not to do that.
I think that's a very fair point. That's one of the points I said yesterday repeatedly. I said I was all for trying something different as long as you offered up nothing. And I thought it was a bit of a mistake to offer up the military exercises. But I'm now backed in that a little bit when I've heard so many people saying we could restart those so quickly. But I don't get when you say to someone like this despicable person who's been a part of this regime who is willing to say that to the North Korean people who have been oppressed or their family members who have disappeared, I guess the only comeback would be that the way Trump operates is he still can't take the New York schmoozing out of it and feels like if he offers up this flowering praise, he has a better chance maybe to get more tangible, enormous returns. Is that potentially acceptable, understanding who the president is and what his approach is going to be? Whether you like it or not, this is who he is.
Well, you know, in a funny way, I think you're onto something here, that Trump basically probably sat down before he went to Singapore and thought to himself, what would work on me? If I were on the other side of
right,
the table,
right.
You know, how would I want a leader to approach me and get me in a good mood to give some concessions? Ah, I got it. I would lavish praise on them. I'd make a 4-minute kind of bizarre propaganda video that, you know, if your listeners haven't seen, they really should watch. It's quite remarkable, this video that Trump presented to Kim, laying out the choice. And so I do think
what did you think of that video?
Mindset going. I thought it was really bizarre. And, you know, I think behind it was this exact mentality that you just identified, which was, hey, maybe if we show him this propaganda video, it will unlock something in Kim's mind and it'll make him more flexible. I don't mind that sentiment. I think the way they executed it with the video is kind of cartoonish and weird. And I don't think it had the intended effect. But I get the sentiment behind it, just like I get the sentiment behind him lavishing all this praise on Kim. But he's dealing on the other side with a very canny operator, not with a cartoon character. Kim Jong-un knows what he's doing. And he knew that if he could get Trump to say these things about him and to make the concessions he made on military exercises, that he could turn around and go back home to his people and say, see what I've delivered for you. And that's exactly what he did. He pocketed everything that the administration gave him and sold it at home to shore up his position. Now, those are the perils of being involved in this diplomacy. And I'll be the first to say, as someone who worked on the Iran deal, that you're dealing with imperfect choices and in a world of constraints. So you can't just sit on the sidelines and criticize everything Trump and his team are doing. But I just think taking some care and being somewhat level-headed about how we approach this would be a better strategy going forward than the kind of pageantry that Trump put forward in this summit, and then spiking the football when he came home and said the North Korean nuclear threat is now over, which it manifestly is not.
No, I mean, I spent 25 minutes on that last hour. I mean, I hope it is, but by no chance is it now. So let's talk about Barack Obama and circle back to what we said before. I remember watching that debate when he said it to Hillary Clinton, and she was shocked, and she basically mocked him, saying, you can't meet with these folks. And so did other Republicans, and then the president did have conversations. He did meet. Why didn't he meet with the leaders of North Korea and take it further? And looking back, was that a mistake?
I think a couple things. First of all, a lot of the reason that this meeting happened was not because Donald Trump wanted to make it so. It's because you had a leader in South Korea who really wanted it. Remember, it was the South Koreans who came to the White House and argued to Trump that he should do this meeting. And then you had a leader in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, who finally felt he had perfected the ICBM capability, the capability to strike the United States with nuclear weapons. So the stars were aligned for this meeting, and then the question was put to Trump, will you do it? And Trump said, yeah. When Obama was in office, he had a South Korean president who would have thrown his body or her body. It was two presidents, first a man, then a woman, who would have thrown their bodies in front of this summit. And Kim Jong-un was in no mood to talk because he hadn't yet, in his mind, crossed the finish line in terms of perfecting his nuclear missile. So I think that's a big part of the reason why. Could it have been conceivable that Obama would have met with Kim Jong-un? I think it's possible. And that's why I object to a lot of my friends and colleagues who say, don't have this meeting because it legitimizes Kim and it puts him on a pedestal and so forth. I don't agree with that. And I don't think President Obama would agree with that either.
Last thing, the president has talked about extreme sanctions and believes that has played a part. Do you agree? And then is it a fair criticism to say the Obama administration could have been and should have been stronger with their sanctions?
So I do agree that sanctions had something to do with bringing Kim to the table. I don't agree that is an indictment of the Obama administration, because basically the way this worked was every time the North Koreans provoked, every time they had a missile test or a nuclear test, we could get the Chinese to do a little bit more. And sanctions turned entirely on China because they account for 90% of North Korea's trade. So Obama got them to do more every year, and then North Korea accelerated their provocation, so Trump got the Chinese to do considerably more than that. And it was that piling up of pressure over several years, starting with the Obama administration, that got us to where we are. My concern at the moment, though, is that because of the way Trump is talking, him saying the threat's over, you know, it's all going to work out, that's kind of an invitation to China to lay off the pressure. And that's going to let North Korea off the hook. And that worries me. I hope that we keep the pressure on until we actually get tangible concessions from North Korea.
I always appreciate the time, sir, and the insight. We'll reach out to you again sometime soon.
Sounds great. Really appreciate it. Take care.
Jake Sullivan joining us. It's 25 past 1. It is interesting how people listen because we have texts from folks who I can see from their tweets even today where they're Trump supporters. More power to you. And they're willing to give Jake Sullivan credit when he's giving the president credit in some areas and differing with him in some areas. Others, just again, in your tribe, and the Democrats have many of that also too. This is not exclusive to the Republicans. Let's be crystal clear about that. But no matter what somebody says, that unless it's 100%, you know, for President Trump, then you're in the tank. He said he had no problem with negotiating. Let's just see the details. And other people have pointed out that this agreement is not as strong as, by the way, what agreement did he compare it to? George W. Bush's agreement. And the same texters tell me, well, Trump's a negotiator. Obama never was a negotiator. This is what I'd like to hear. No doubt, art of the deal. We've got that and the New York deals, and I've said it that endlessly. Part of what appealed to me about Donald Trump was, is he going to be somebody who is nonpartisan? Now, most of his life, he was a New York liberal. Let's not forget that. I hope you don't forget that, right? And then he saw the avenue in 2013 to go with racism and birtherism. Because that's what birtherism is. It's just racism. Wow, there's this black guy who's president. That bothers me. So let's go with this. Because, I'm sorry, never came up any other time in our history. But now it comes up with the African-American as president. Isn't it funny how it works out? So that he would end up being a negotiator, that he would work both sides. Tell me an issue or two where President Trump has said, I'm going to reach out in a substantial way and we're going to get deals done. I'm not expecting him to not be a Republican. He won. But give me some areas. We have these summit, we have these televised events where I'm willing to do this. I'll take the heat, whether it's on immigration, whether it's on gun control, and then nothing happens. I mean, the tax bill was enormous. Biggest tax change we've seen in decades. All Republicans. What he's signing in the office, that's on his own. Other deals passed with Republicans. The biggest spending bill, that was done with Donald Trump as a bystander. With McConnell, Ryan, Schumer, Pelosi, and the president upset. And then even more upset when Ingram and Tucker Carlson and some of the other folks went at him. But that's what I'd love to see the other deal actually taking place. But right now it's just within the party. So when I keep getting the text about what a brilliant negotiator is with, okay, if I just negotiate with somebody who agrees with me, of course I'm a brilliant negotiator. They agree with me. The art of the deal is you strike something with people who see it differently, and the deal works out for both sides. 33 past one. A lot on North Korea. In fact, pretty much outside of the raccoon and how the world was mesmerized by the raccoon and how Lindsay was so excited when Tim from Lake Elmo called. She has broken up with John. She's now dating Tim because Tim raised raccoons, and she's leaving Crystal and she's moving to Lake Elmo. It was a dramatic moment.
Those 200 acres sounded pretty great. They did. I won't lie.
So we're gonna move away from North Korea for a while. We are, though, we are going to get one more reporter on from North Korea who is there on the scene. That's in about 30 minutes. We'll get to some other nonsense when we come back. All right, we're going to call Adam's friend here, the cheapskate. No, just once it starts ringing, I'll ask him. So I think, yeah, we can do it. Here we go. Hello? Hello. There we go. Boom. What's this guy's name again?
Mike.
Mike.
Hi, I've reached Mike Nelson with Cody. Please leave me a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you.
Gutless.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Freeloader, this is Chad Hartman and Adam Carter. Can we put your voicemail on the air? I think we just did.
I think, yeah.
So brutal! I was going to play golf with you Friday, have some fun, raise some money, and Adam's telling me that you will only go to the event if Adam picks you up. And then Adam said you're worth like $5 million.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, let's go. Are you really not going to play in a charity event because Adam will not pick you up? And then he offered to pay a portion of it. We've taken that off the board, by the way. We have talked to Donald Trump. Negotiations have ended. So I'd love to bond with you. I'd love to play with you. But no, you have to arrive at the event on your own. You have to leave on your own, or else, you know, whatever else is going on, that's up to you. But no, this isn't, you know, Adam, how old are you, right?
I'm 43. Mike's 42.
Right. We don't ask Mike to help us pack, do we? Or move. We've reached that point. Mike, let's go. Step up. We'd like to see you Friday.
The whole thing's disgusting.
Thank you. Lindsay is excited because they've now released Ricky the raccoon.
Yeah.
Do we know where Ricky has been released, or is that still
undisclosed?
That is still a secret location?
Very secret. The Wildlife Management Services released a video about 54 minutes ago of them releasing her into an area that looks very wooded, secluded. So she's probably, you know, sunbathing next to a lake right now.
I gotta tell her, Ricky, come on downtown Minneapolis. With our building's only five stories. It's a much shorter climb.
Yeah. We'd love.
We could use the pub.
Are we worried that if they would have announced where the raccoon was released, that somebody would have went out and tried to harm?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You're 100% convinced it would have been somebody trying to kill this
not
raccoon.
Not necessarily. I would say there'd be people who wanted to kill the raccoon, but then there'd be people who are like a little too excited about it. Like, I didn't go to St. Paul. Like, I'm not that excited. Like, I paid attention on social media.
You were giddy and giggling off air when you saw the raccoon released.
Because it's cute. Oh, heaven forbid a good story comes along, and with all the BS I have to listen to on the phone all day, people yelling at me, calling me names.
Adam, stop that.
My favorite is when they call to insult me and don't realize that they're talking to me. Got That's it. The best. I can answer the phone, WCCO Radio. That Lindsay, man, she is just awful. Thank you. I will pass that along. So heaven forbid a cute raccoon scales a 22-story building,
killer.
And I get a little excited.
Killer raccoon. Speaking of somebody who's yelled at you before, he's now going to join us. Tom Delmonico.
Stop.
Tom Delmonico covered the summit. How many other shows across America, Adam Carter, have had on a reporter from the scene?
I don't know.
Not many,
not
right?
Not many.
Okay, Target and this latest controversy. So, breaking news, Father's Day is Sunday. Target, among the Father's Day cards, baby daddy. Baby daddy, as opposed to just a typical Father's Day. And yes, the couple right there, Lindsay, an African-American couple. So just to add to the stereotype, baby daddy. I'll just quote right from Urban Dictionary. Baby daddy refers to a man as the father of your child whom you don't marry. So why not keep father on the card as he's still the parent of the child? Now, the negative stereotype has been more towards an African-American, right? To think that it's never been used towards a white person is wrong, but the negative mocking and belittling has been more often than not, would we agree, towards African-Americans. So I get humor. I'm pro-humor. If I'm Target, I'm not going near. If I'm a place where our calling card, Adam, is to, we're going to stir it up a little bit. We're going to have some fun. We're going to be a little more edgy than Target is. Then I'm probably jumping in on a variety of things. And then it's up to them to decide where they're going to draw the line. On this one, you're just asking for criticism, aren't you? Lindsay, you go first. What do you think?
I think it's a little in poor taste. There's a couple things that bother me. I get the humor behind it. The black couple is pushing it a little bit far. I think you could have done a card that said baby daddy without a photo, and that would have been fine.
This just adds more to it,
this is
right?
Just like, hi, we're going to fuel this stereotype. The other one that really drives me crazy, and it was actually my mom that pointed it out, is like the reference to a pregnant woman as being knocked up, because there's a negative connotation that it typically is like a single woman.
Okay.
There's no father in the
accident.
Picture. It was an accident, that whole thing. I also think there is a huge, and to you both, because you're both great dads, there is a huge lack of emphasis on Father's Day that Mother's Day gets, and I don't understand why. Is it because people think men don't care? Is it because men don't care? Is it because it's summer? Is it because women are supposed to be more sentimental, more sensitive? Like, I think there are a lot of dads out there who want to be celebrated on Father's Day, and for some reason it becomes this, like, kicked under the rug holiday where you just get dad something to grill with and call it a day.
I think it's I would argue that I think that is changing. I think Father's Day is becoming a bigger deal, and I think that's cultural and society changing, where Mother's Day was bigger and probably still is bigger, is because that always was assumed that, you know, daddy's working and mommy's only job is being mommy. So let's salute mommy on that day.
Well, and I'll say this: there's someone who's very important in my life, but when somehow it's a decision involving one of my kids, and Kathleen's my ex-wife, we have a great relationship, almost all the time out of this person's mouth, well, what would Kathleen do? And I'm like, hello, 50-50, we share these ideas. We have different methods. She doesn't always agree with mine. I don't agree with her. But, you know, and it's more of a generational thing. And it's too bad, but there's a lot of generational things that we'll face too. I think Father's Day is getting better, but the amount of spending associated with commercial, social media, it's a drop in the bucket compared to for Mother's Day, right?
Oh, absolutely. Even from the restaurant industry, Mother's Day, reservations booked solid from start to finish. It didn't matter what restaurant I worked at. Father's Day, it was like, crickets. I mean, and I get people do different plans, but talking just about spending money, I had an interesting childhood because my mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked up until my dad retired when I was 13, 14, because, you know, he was 46 when I was born. So at that point, he was in his 60s.
Right.
They switched roles. My mom went to work full-time, and my dad was a stay-at-home dad with a teenager.
Right.
And it was...
good luck.
It was interesting. There were some major failures, but he tried his best. Like, I will say the best story ever was I had strep throat, and he called my mom, and she said, you know, you should be really nice. Go get her something from Dairy Queen. So I ordered a Blue Raspberry Mr. Misty, and he came back with a Nerds Blizzard. And it was terrible, but I ate it. You're like, you give it. It was the gesture.
Of blizzards, I don't want to jump off topic.
Yeah.
But I went to Dairy Queen last week with my daughters for the first time.
Right. You just heard of a blizzard?
No. I love blizzards. I haven't had one in a while.
What kind of towels do they have at Dairy Queen? They match up with your event?
Were you disappointed in your blizzard?
No. This is the Dairy Queen, which I've always gone to on Southview Boulevard in South St. Paul. They do not have Snickers blizzards anymore.
What?
Is that Dairy Queen wide?
What?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Like, you've got to be kidding me.
That is protest worthy.
Oh, absolutely.
It's got to be one
of their
top
sellers.
Do they still turn it upside down for you?
Yep.
I want to see it upside down.
There's no commitment, though. He just does the...
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
come on. Hold it upside
down. Let's hold it up
down
there, and then I have to say, fine.
What do you think of that, buddy?
I want that. How did we get here from the baby daddy card? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
You haven't chimed in yet. How much heat should Target get for this? Or are we going overboard?
The picture, I'm looking at the cards that see.
The picture
there's a lot of couples that they
say it.
Say
it.
That's
I know.
My baby daddy.
But with the African American
yes,
couple, seriously, if it doesn't have that and the negative connotation that's been thrown that way, I'm chuckling.
It sounds like a bad SNL skit, doesn't it? Like, go get your card at Target. The black couple on the front, baby daddy.
What do you, I mean, just a little more thinking on this one. Or just the other more eccentric card store where they're willing to take the abuse. 153, that is your Lindis construction time check. Time to call Lindis for free home improvement estimates on windows, gutters, and roofing. And then let's just talk Dairy Queen for a second. What is your go-to item at Dairy Queen? 81807, your number one go-to item at Dairy Queen. And sure, if they want to stop by, that's fine. Among the texters, yes, it's Dairy Queen wide. No Snicker Blizzards. They replaced it with Twix. I assume they had business incentives. There is no comparison between Snickers and Twix. That's horrible.
A distant second is the Heath Blizzard.
Heath Blizz is pretty good.
Heath with coffee ice cream.
How about the cookie dough? Lindsay's shaking her head. You don't
not
like
my favorite
cookie dough?
I do like cookie dough. The Dairy Queen one's not my favorite.
Based on sales and menus, I cannot
no
believe
way.
That.
No way. How about this one? If you want to have an idea why Father's Day isn't celebrated as Mother's Day, have a divorce with children and experience how the courts treat fathers, especially concerning shared parenting. It is a battle. Let's see, there's two of us who can speak to that sort of situation. The courts are getting better at it, but it's pretty insulting in a lot of ways. A number of people have it. Peanut Buster Parfait. Peanut Buster Parfait. Oh, you're wrong. I mean, honestly.
Overrated.
Lindsay. What?
Yeah.
Totally
what
overrated.
What is wrong
overrated
with you people?
Yeah.
Buster Bar.
Hammer. Laura. Replacement. Buster Bar is fine. I mean, it's like... once every 5 years, I have a Buster Bar to mix it up.
See, I'm a dipped cone with the crunch kind of gal. That crunch they make with the sprinkles
and
the nuts is...
mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, a lot of places don't have the crunch anymore. I went somewhere the other day, they looked at me like they had no idea. So I settled for the chocolate, which is fine, but it's not the crunch. And parfait is underrated.